Awesome. Thanks so much, Bill and Carrie. I'll just remind everybody that after this, directly after this session, you will get an invite to join a breakout room where Lauren will be moderating.
Okay. Bill, I've just unmuted you. Carrie, I'm just going to unmute you now as well. And we have our first question. Al at Virginia. I'm just going to unmute you.
Hello, alcoholic. I would like to thank both the speakers. It was fantastic. And I guess I'm going to ask Billy this question. I've been going to a lot of Zoom meetings, which I've really enjoyed. I get to go all around the United States and Canada. I'm a little bit shocked. My sobriety date is May 5th, 1987. I'm a little bit shocked by the amount of older members of AA that announce themselves as alcoholic and addicts when participating in the meetings. And I was wondering, after the meeting in the chat box, would it be all right or against any tradition to post Bulletin 13 out of the NAA that was about one of the best writings I found on AA, Singleness of Purpose. And so this is directed to Billy.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to guess my friend Carrie is dying to answer this question too, because we are both big, big fans of Bulletin 13. Maybe the greatest single writing about honoring and respecting the room you're in. But I would say this. I think sometimes things become normal because you hear them all the time. And I do not blame. I'm not for kicking anybody out of AA. And it just comes down to sponsorship and the respect. You know, if, you know, we would not tell AA members, but unfortunately they do it, to go to other fellowships and say that they're that and an alcoholic. You know, it's all about respect for the room you're in and knowing that there may be somebody in that room who is brand new and only has a problem with alcohol and starts to think that they have to have this other thing in order to fit in. And so, you know, I'm with you. Bulletin 13 is my friend, but I want to let Carrie go too, because she's going to want to comment on this.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for bringing that up. What did you say your name was? I'm sorry.
He might be muted again.
Al Alcoholic.
Al, thank you. So first, I'd like to say that I am truly blessed. The last time I heard, I haven't even heard a newcomer say that in my home group for years. We are very, very entrenched in the traditions. The last time I heard an old timer say that was probably 7 or 8 years ago. I'm glad for that. And I'll tell you why. When somebody gets out of treatment and they don't know what they are, and the person who they have for a whatever mentor, sober mentor, sobriety coach, drug and alcohol counselor, whatever, has told them to identify themselves as an ANDA, that is not their fault. And God knows, I mean, you guys just heard my story. I didn't know the traditions. And even if I did, you know, when I was new and I was not about to respect them. So I would be a complete hypocrite if I said anything to those newcomers, you know, especially at group level. I'm not for embarrassing anybody. Up until you have 2 years. Now, I only have a little bit of tolerance. My tolerance only goes so far. Maybe it's because I was, you know, I didn't do that stuff anymore after I was 2 years. I don't know. But when I hear somebody with 15 years sober calling themselves an ANDA, I'm not going to embarrass them at group level, but you're going to bet your ass we're going to have a conversation after the meeting in private. And as far as Bulletin 13 goes, you know, some groups think it's appropriate to post on your bulletin board or wall or whatever. Some don't. That's an autonomy thing. But I'll tell you what, the ones that don't You can't fight them with the fact that we published that bulletin in the AA Grapevine. And so it is in our literature now because we published it in the Grapevine, and I'm going to put a link up in the comments section to go to that AA Grapevine where we published that bulletin 13, and it has some amazing things in it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Kim from Canberra, I'm just going to unmute you.
Hi, Kim from Canberra. I'm an alcoholic, and I guess my question or comment is around some of the old timers in my home group. Say that AA can't be home delivered, and while I sort of agree in principle that the person has to want to attend meetings, it doesn't take in account people that have chronic illnesses or the elderly or, disabled or incarcerated that can't get out. I mean, look at us all here today. We're all in lockdown, yet we're attending this wonderful, wonderful conference. And I just was seeking thoughts and comments on that for the future of AA.
Go ahead, Billy.
Well, I mean, I think I kind of like, I don't want to step on any group conscience toes. I think I spoke about this. I think there's a silver lining to all of this. And I think regardless, I've been fighting the technology fight for a long time. I think there's going to be a silver lining to this, and I think we're going to find purposes to use this for without stepping on the toes of in-person Alcoholics Anonymous. And I look forward to reading about many general service structures in Australia, in Asia, in the UK, in the United States and Canada, of maybe instead of splitting hairs on guidelines and semicolons and really looking forward about how we can harness this to reach people that we don't reach all the time. Thanks.
Kerry, did you want to add anything there?
Nope. Thanks.
All right, I'm going to move on to Don B.
I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you to all the presenters. And I had a question for Billy. I'd never heard that story before about Carl Jung meeting William James, and I just wondered if there's any source material that you can refer us to so we can read about that ourselves.
You can go to the Clark University archives. You can look up on the internet certain stories about Freud and Jung, and they talk about there's pictures. You really have to dig deep. I always get that question. I'll be glad to. I put my email out there. Send me your email. It's one of those things. There's a great picture of William James and Dr. Jung and Freud. It was quite a gathering they had up there. But to me, one of the most important stories in Alcoholics Anonymous that's not talked about a lot, because after they leave Clark, you can see by 1912, Jung leaves Freud. They had a breakup, and Jung becomes more in the line of William James. And I wonder what would have happened to Alcoholics Anonymous without that chance meeting. But please send me an email.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got Duke H.
Yes, a question for both Kerry and Billy. Obviously, both of you are well-read. You've studied a lot to be able to share at the level you've shared today. What would you say to the new person? I'm working with a sponsee now who is taking an interest in both traditions and concepts. It can seem like a daunting task for them to get into this? There's so much to learn and so much history, of course. Do you have any tips or recommendations for working with somebody who's new to traditions and concepts?
I suppose I'll go first. I love the traditions, and I have a couple women that I sponsor who actually take the women they sponsor through the steps at the same time, you know, step one, tradition one, step two, tradition two. And that works well for them. I, because of my personal experience of not being able to swallow the traditions, for lack of a better way of putting it, until I was through the steps, I actually don't. I go all the way through the first 103 pages, at least, of the big book. And once we're done with, you know, once they're starting to understand how to do 12-step work, I get them right into the traditions right away so that they don't mess up AA for the rest of us. But I definitely do go directly into tradition one as soon as we get onto step 12 for me. And I know that Billy will tell you, and this is, I'll just speak for Billy here. He'll tell you that when he takes somebody through the steps, and I've been doing this too now, when somebody asks me to sponsor them and I ask them, well, are you willing to go to any length? Part of my end of the deal is, you know, we're done with the steps. We're on to traditions, and that's the deal. Like, I don't give you one without the other. So go ahead, Billy.
Sure. So yes, I define any lens as willing to go through the traditions. And I think that's a way of not letting one legacy people armed with the facts of recovery not have, it's not that they don't have respect, they just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say this, because I want to give a shout out to my friend Brooke in good old Wyoming. She makes a point that I think a lot of us don't think about, because how many arguments have we heard in AA? When should you take someone through the big book? How quick should they work the steps? And we don't have 12 hours to debate on every facet of AA timing tonight about when you get through the steps. But Brooks makes the point, often when we meet a newcomer or a new person in a meeting and talk to them, even though we don't call them the traditions, even though we don't say what number they are, we often are talking about the traditions with newcomers before the steps. How many people ask, do I have to belong to that religion or that church that it's in? Do I have to believe in God? Do I have to pay money? Is there a cost? All these questions, and we give them simple answers without a 12 and 12 in our hand. But actually what we're sharing is our experience with the traditions, that AA is self-supporting. You don't got to pay. And we don't have any requirements about who you believe in. We only have one membership requirement, that our membership ought to be all those who suffer from alcoholism. So when people say how quick to get someone into the traditions, most often than not, if you've already been working with a new person, you've been talking about them, whether you called them the traditions or not. But I too believe I don't take everybody through the concepts, because I don't think everybody needs to go through them. As much as my general service friends might not like me to say that. But I define willing to go to any lengths as willing to go through the traditions. I also think I have a personal responsibility to not pollute Alcoholics Anonymous. And if all I'm sending out to AA is people who have been through the big book and have no experience with the traditions, all I'm doing is poisoning Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks.
So I'm just going to add to also a little bit of experience, which I'm not great at sharing apparently, but I actually have a traditions and concepts meeting for only my sponsorship line, the women that I sponsor and the women they sponsor and so on and so forth, once a month at my house. It's every first Thursday. A couple of the ladies I saw are on here today. And they come over. It's only an hour. And it's only 1 hour a month, and I have a 15-minute tradition presenter. I ask one of the girls to present on the tradition of the month. I ask one of the girls to present on a tradition of, or the concept of the month. And then there's the rest of the hour is for sharing on either, you know, topic, if you have any experience with either. And this is not mandatory, obviously, until you've been through the steps, but I offer it to even my brand new newcomers. And I say, you know, even if you just look at us and laugh, like, come, you can hang out, you can get to know your, you know, sponsorship family, you can get to know the other ladies. You don't even worry about bringing your book. You don't need an AA comes of age. You don't need a, you know, AA group pamphlet, but just come and hang out. And so like what Billy says, you know, we start, I mean, nobody's gonna start working with me without hearing about the traditions, even if I'm not taking them through. So.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys. Yeah, I really loved Brooke, Billy, from your traditions and concepts workshop. I really heard that when she talked about that. It was wonderful. Okay, next person, I've got Arthur. Just going to unmute you.
Thank you very much, and certainly some good conversation in regards to the concepts and the traditions, as well as the book Alcoholics Anonymous. My question was for Billy, that reading you got that you read from Bill Wilson. Is that available? Where can I get that at?
Which one are you referring to, the vision or the one about communication?
The one about communication.
That is in As Bill Sees It. If you look up communication in As Bill Sees It in the index, it'll come there. The first part, though, comes from the 12 Concepts, page 51. And the second was a Grapevine article by Bill in November of 1960, but it's in As Bill Sees It.
Thank you very much. If I may, I'd like to speak in regards to the ANDAs. Thanks to the grace of God, this fellowship in the 12 steps, I haven't had to pick up a drink since March 18th. For that, I'm very grateful. In December, I had surgery on my back. And shortly after surgery, they came in and asked me if I wanted some morphine. No, excuse me. They came in and said they had something for pain. When I asked what it was they were giving me, and they told me morphine, I put my hand up and I said, no. I told them in my interview, I there was not to be any opioids or no narcotics. And the nurse said, no, it says right here, you don't understand, you don't have enough. And she looked at me really strange. I bring that up because ultimately I'm an alcoholic and I'll be an alcoholic for the rest of my life. But there's other things that'll trigger, take me back if I'm not careful and set off that allergy. I don't want to let that cat out of the bag. The book Alcoholics Anonymous talks about morphine or some sedative which to taper off. I'm curious as to how you answer questions in regards to that. Both speakers. The book talks about things other than alcohol. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Thanks very much for your time.
So I'm Carrie. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you so much for asking that question. It's an amazing question. And the book talks about seeking outside help and outside literature. And we are not against any, you know, I mean, I am myself like 100% of the time. I can be 100 different kinds of people. I have, when I'm out there in the world, I am a lot of other things other than an alcoholic, believe me. And I could spend my entire 3-minute share just qualifying with all of the other ANDAs I am. But a teacher of mine once taught me, an AA teacher of mine once taught me that I could qualify myself with all of those different ANDAs and take my whole 3 minutes for qualifying myself.
What? 1 second, sorry.
I'm leaving at 6:30.
It's just that there's a lot of noise in the background. Somebody has their microphone on. and they're moving around too much, and it's creating a lot of noise. We can't hear
that idiot Carlos.
I'm going to mute everyone, and then I'm going to get Lauren to only unmute the speaker.
Yes. Thanks, Sheree.
Okay, Lauren, you're unmuted.
Thanks. Hey, Carrie, thank you.
Okay, yeah, no problem. So identifying myself as I'm Carrie, I'm a Christian alcoholic atheist who goes to a Christian church and dyes my hair blonde and, you know, is not a breach of tradition. I could say I have a shopping addiction. I could just list the whole thing, and that is not a breach of the third tradition, because as long as I throw alcoholism in there, I am just as much of a member as the pure alcoholic, like 100%. The door is open wide for tradition three. However, the tradition that we don't talk about a whole lot when it comes to this topic is tradition five. And tradition five says you can be all of these different things, but we focus in on this one thing that we all have in common. And so when I come into the room of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm not what I do for a living. I'm not what religion I am. I'm not what who I voted for president. I'm not all of my other andas. All I am is an alcoholic among alcoholics, and it makes me it assures that I'm not better than you, not worse than you, not different than you. And when I'm talking about, let's say I talk about heroin addiction, and maybe 5% of the people in the room can identify with that. If I talk about my sugar addiction, probably 30% of the people in the room can identify that with that. But when I talk about my alcoholism in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, 100% of the room will be able to identify with that. And are drugs an outside issue? Absolutely not. Drugs are not an outside issue at all. They're in the big book. Drug addiction, however, is an outside issue. So I don't come to AA for help with a drug addiction any more than I do with a sex addiction. And when I woke up, you know, next to somebody I didn't know after a night out of drinking, I don't have a sex addiction. I have a problem with alcohol. When I wake up after gambling $2,000 away in a casino, out and being in blackout, that doesn't mean that I have a gambling addiction. It means that I have a problem with alcohol. And so all of these things that the big book talks about, even jaywalking, they're not an outside issue. But when it becomes something that we talk about in the meetings as a means to, one of the best ways I heard it, and then I'll shut up, is if I identify with the duality of purpose, it implies a duality or a duality of identification in a single purpose program implies a duality of purpose in a single purpose program or something like that. I forget how that's put, but it provides unity if we all are just alcoholic and not alcoholic and 100 different things under the sun.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys. Tara, I'm going to unmute you. Go ahead. Hello, Tara.
Oh, hello. I was just actually typing a question in the chat, but since you asked, I was just wondering, I think Carrie said she would be open to taking someone for the traditions if they were willing. And I just
anyone.
Yeah.
Anytime, anywhere. And for that, I'm responsible.
Great. I just wanted your email. I think that was my question. Yeah.
I'll put it in the chat box.
Okay, great.
And for those of you who don't have the chat box because you're on the phone, it's the letter J, the word and spelt out, the letter C, my last name, Blake, Blake, @mail.com.
Awesome. Thank you.
Linda F. Go ahead.
Hi, y'all. Linda, alcoholic. I have a question for both people. I love the presentations. Thank you so much. It's so good to see you, Billy. Carrie, you were talking about the responsibility pledge, and I was wondering where you got that from. And Billy, I was wondering which three legacies literature you were talking about from GSO. Thank you.
Which were you referring to on mine? Which topic?
Please, a piece from GSO.
Well, I mentioned a couple. The Grapevine 1971 January edition, the Bill W. Memorial issue, has a section on unity, recovery, and service, the three legacies. That little piece in that Grapevine edition is also its own literature piece called "The Three Bill W. on the Three Legacies." You can buy it at GSO.
And I also mentioned two different pieces. I read from the 1965 conference report, which you can find in the archives. It's not a, or Billy can get it to you, or I guess I could. And that's in the 1965 General Service Conference report, the year that we adopted the responsibility statement. But the more common place where I love to read about it is page 332 out of the book As Bill Sees It. And that's much easier to get your hands on. And it just talks about what the responsibility statement speaks to and how it speaks to protecting and preserving the future of Alcoholics Anonymous and its world services. And that's what we're responsible for. And it talks about the vanishing old timers. And oh, it's a wonderful reading.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys. Anne, I'm going to unmute you now for your question.
Yes. Am I unmuted?
Yeah.
I am. Okay. For both of you, I only heard Billy's presentation, but this is so interesting. I live in New York. I mean, I'm an alcoholic. I didn't say that. I live in New York, and I'm sober 14 years, and as far as I can remember, all the groups I've gone to, at some time or another, somebody says that they're an addict, an alcoholic, or some combination. It kind of annoyed me always, not knowing, you know. And I haven't done service beyond the group level. But I do take my sponsees through the traditions. My first sponsor took me through them, through the 12 and 12. And I have the Book of Concepts, which I'm going to start one sponsee on. I guess my question is there any kind of literature to help guide me to take a sponsee through the concepts? I haven't actually gone through them. My current sponsor hasn't either. So anyway, that's one part. And then I guess addressing, like, in a, how do you address to your group? You know, I do service, I'm a chairperson, and go to business meetings and so forth, but how would you suggest bringing this whole thing about, you know, addict and alcoholic up at a meeting, you know, at a business meeting?
One piece of literature I can recommend for the concepts, which is really easy to start with, and I don't have one on my desk right now, but it's called the 12 Concepts Checklist that GSO publishes. And it's just a simple, like, 3-page checklist that goes through and asks some questions about your home group. It's kind of like my home group's going to use it as an inventory, this next group inventory that we do, because it kind of dumbs the concepts down a little bit to where how they can relate to your home group. And not 100%. They still kind of go through of how it relates to the board, but it's a wonderful piece of literature. And that's coming from someone who is not a big fan of the 12 traditions checklist at all. That's a Grapevine piece that is not from GSO. But the 12 concepts checklist is wonderful. And again, email me and request that and I can email it to you. Here we go. We got it right here. Don B has a picture of it. And I can email that to you.
Wassel, I have unmuted you for your question.
Thank you. Wassel, alcoholic, calling from Northern New Jersey. Happy to be here, happy to be sober. Thank you both and all of everybody's involved in this retreat. I got word of it just as it was starting, and I'm very grateful. for those people in my life. But my question, I guess, has to do with the groups and group conscience and business meetings and mech. I came in, I've been sober dry for almost 16 years now. I came in and after decades of drinking and downhill and all that happy stuff we hear about, whatever surrender was, whatever spiritual awakening I had, I was exposed to AA and I jumped in with all my feet. I even borrowed some feet from other people around me. And I did service at every imaginable level in my area, district, intergroup, GSR, you know, on and on and on. And I can't say it was for the right motive. It was for you to like me. You know, things going on at home that weren't good. Anyway, whatever. But I got exposed to a lot of the traditions. And I was one of those guys like, oh, my God, it's tradition meeting in my home group. I shouldn't have come. You know, I got into the traditions. You know, when somebody said at a workshop at Intergroup, you know, you got $2 for your coffee, but you'll put a buck in the basket, that made an impression on me. And all this stuff grew on me, and I didn't really get sober till I was 4 years in AA when I hit that bottom on just running on steps 1 and 12 and thinking suicide was a good option for everyday problems again. Anyway, my home group grabbed me and threw me to a big book guy, and I did my steps, and I was desperate, and I was glad to do it, and it exposed myself to me. I got to realize that I wasn't a victim, but I was just a quote, an arrogant son of a bitch. And I accepted that. And it was true. And it's still true today. But I guess my question is,
what's the question?
I've done service since then, with cooperation with the professionals. And I love doing service at meetings, you know, whether it's drinking coffee or leading meetings, but perhaps it's my area, perhaps it's just my arrogance, but I see a lot of blending with addiction and alcoholism at meetings. Some of the meetings have wanted to change the preamble, how it works, to include the addict. We have a lot of addicts in our area. I don't know if we're special in Northern Jersey. A lot of young people coming in, and people who just come in and they basically say, I'm an addict. And there's nobody qualifies them or calls them out for a closed meeting, which is, again, you know, I understand that's part of the group conscious, but I guess that's really my question to the two speakers is, you know, you have group conscious when you decide what prayer you open with, you decide what readings you do, but where does that kind of come, you know, leave the discipline of AA? I mean, somebody brings in they want to bring Bible passages at each meeting. Is that a group conscious meeting or is that like a no-no where you stop being an AA meeting? So I'm not sure there's a clear question in there, but it has been troubling me lately.
Well, I would tell you this, number one, is that the misapplication of the fourth tradition is a huge problem in Alcoholics Anonymous. If you use the Traditions Illustrated pamphlet that talks about traditions and customs, if I were to say my home group celebrates anniversaries, it's our tradition, the last Friday night of the month, it's really our custom. We only have 12 traditions in Alcoholics Anonymous. So while groups have wide latitude on customs, the fourth tradition is not a veto authority over any of the other 11 traditions. So know that first. And when it says affecting other groups or AA as a whole, that's why we don't get to change literature all on our own. We don't get to change preambles. Do some do it? Of course. Of course they do. But I'm a big believer that people vote with their feet. My job is to make sure people get the help they need. I know newcomers are going to call themselves something different than alcoholic sometimes. And if I want to get really upset about that, I can. What I'm really worried about is the alcoholic who also is an addict, I know is safely in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I'm really worried about the people I meet that tell me they've never drank. And so that's why my phone has to have contacts in it for members of active, passionate members in other fellowships. And I always talk about it from a life-saving point of view, not a kicking people out of AA point of view. I'm tired of going to a clubhouse where I live and seeing flyers on the wall for another person who I know in AA who just OD'd on heroin, who told me they didn't drink. Because there's just, I cooperate with the paid recovery world for sure. But they tell everybody's the same and it doesn't matter where you go. That's not my message. And so I would just stick to what you're sticking with. And we have to go on to the next question. I know we don't have a lot of time.
Thanks, Billy. All right, we've got time for one more question. I'm going to unmute Katana.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Katana. I'm an alcoholic from Detroit area. Thank you guys so much for sharing. I'll have 9 years sober in October, and I don't know if it's my area or what, or the meetings I'm going to, but obviously heard about the traditions, but hearing about the concepts is kind of like a first for me. So I just am curious if there's any information, or I know you said you would share your email. But like anything that I can do to kind of, you know, bring these three legacies to the Detroit area, I'd be excited to do that and get involved. And so if Billy or Carrie, you guys had any sort of Zoom meetings or like any correspondence through email, that would be awesome. But yeah.
Well, the best thing, even though I want people to be brought through the traditions and concepts at all costs, the best thing is to have someone in person and close to you. And what I can tell you is Detroit has plenty of third legacy service, plenty of people who know about the concepts. We just canceled the international convention, which was going to be in Detroit. They had a large committee. If you email me, I know a woman in Detroit who I would be glad to put you in contact with, who's very active in service there.
Great. Thank you very much.
And I put my email in the chat.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we might close the meeting now with the Serenity Prayer. And then we'll